Welcome to Ravens Among Us on Datha.com. I am your host, Datha Hewlin. Ravens Among Us features conversations with people and organizations who are making a difference in the lives of others. Listen to be inspired, encouraged, and entertained by their stories. Meet the Ravens Among Us on Datha.com.
Keep on dancing. Hashtag keep on dancing.
We all identify on the level of our struggle. And that's my core message, you know, setting that goal, protecting the goal, and not losing yourself in pursuit of that, whether you win or lose.
So today I'm sitting here with Patrick Bettis.
Bettis.
So I need to say it more gently. Bettis.
I'm just saying Bettis because it sounds cool. Like Antonio Banderas. Bettis.
Bettis. Okay. So this is Patrick Bettis.
Bettis.
And what I want to say about Patrick is that he is motivational. When I first met you, Patrick, in July of 2014, I'd been tossing around the idea of sharing Raven's stories for about a month. And as I shared my idea with you, you offered the suggestion of getting a microphone and recording people. And I loved the idea.
Just realized that's 7 months ago. I was all counting them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that's cool. Okay. Congrats.
Thank you. And you said, do it. Do it now. Start
do
next week.
Do it now.
Yeah. Start next
like
week.
Arnold.
Right. Yeah. Exactly like that.
Do it now.
That's how you said it.
Yeah.
And since I knew nothing about audio software or WordPress or any of the.
And for everyone listening, like she has like a crazy like Hollywood setup, like mic stands, the little spit circle catcher stocking things. And I was expecting like, yeah, just show up with your MacBook and push record.
Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
Like, no, that's
clip
why
a mic
to
you.
That's why it took me 7 months.
Wow.
Because I had to learn how to use all this stuff.
Just do it 7 months later.
I know. Anyway, so I wanted to share stories, but I didn't know quite how to do it. And so after talking to you, I knew what I wanted to do.
Share stories. Conquer the world.
Conquer the world. I love it. See, you are a motivator. And so that's my introduction for you. But now I'd like for you to introduce yourself. I want you to explain what it is that you do.
She was asking earlier if I could freestyle. So my name is Patrick Bettis and I am from Austin. I've got an Irish name, but I'm not from Boston. I'm sitting on the couch, but I'm not a slouch because I've got the mind. It's so divine. I keep on hustling. I keep on working. I help kids understand that life is more than twerking. I help them understand that their decisions and their choices will be their voices for a future that they will get out. And I just lost it right there because I was thinking about pizza again. So that pizza was good. So I combine the element of hip-hop, b-boy. Oh, thank you. So I pretty much, in a nutshell, I travel the country inspiring youth to break through their challenges and break free from their excuses. And so I combine music, dance, and student interaction to talk about choices, goal setting, peer relationships. That translates into a lot of tobacco prevention programs, leadership conferences, drinking and driving tours. Mm-hmm. And so my program is just like this crazy in your face. I just shook a little Mountain Dew and sprayed it everywhere. Experience of fun, hype, and hope.
Today's program is brought to you by water. Remember kids, drink water, look hotter. Drink soda, look like Yoda. Back to you, Patrick.
You step out there, you inspire so many other people. Don't stop because it gets hard. Don't stop. Remember, you don't get what you wish for. You get what you work for. And you keep working, you keep on dancing, you do what it takes. And that's what it comes down to with the choices you make.
I love it. I love that. So what are your presentations like?
So pretty much because of the way I am, if I've sat through presentations and I'm always like, okay, what did I like? What did I not like? Well, what can I do to have more fun? And so I have, like the very beginning of my show, they're introducing me, you know, this is our speaker today, Mr. Bettis, and he's the author of 3 books, and he floats around on water. I mean, just, they're introducing me, and I'm just like, you know, just come on, let's go. As soon as I'm on stage, the music's going, I'm getting everybody up and moving, we're, you know, getting down to jump on it.
So just so you guys know, listeners, he actually does break dance for the kids.
And the last few events I've had, like the leadership council, like these are the, you know, the student body leaders, having them up on stage following me as we dance. I mean, we're just getting crazy. And that's what the kids pick up on, or the teenagers pick up on. It's like, okay, this guy's not here to lecture us. And so it's a lot of hype, and I have a dance off in the beginning, you know, guys against girls. So these kids are going all out. Like, this is a battle. I mean, I've had principals get up there, do the splits. I've had some shows where like old school b-boys come out, breakdancers, for those who don't know what b-boying is. They come out. So it's like a dance battle. But within the dancing, that's where the message begins. The dance paints the backdrop. And then the message is about, well, what are the choices that I made along my journey? What are the choices my friends have made that got us to where we are? You know, what did I do to come from like a little b-boy, you know, breakdancing, who just loved the dance, to traveling the country, speaking to 300, 5,000 people sometimes?
So you tell them how you got into what you're doing now. Tell us.
My journey was, I got into the breakdancing because, you know, I was bullied growing up. You know, that's okay. The big theme right now in life is bullying, but pretty much at one point or another, we've all been bullied.
So were you bullied a lot?
I was bullied, I'll say, more than average. I was above average.
Really? Like, as an elementary kid?
Elementary kid. It was an elementary school. I actually wrote this in my book, Bully Breakthrough. It was an elementary where I began fighting back. You know, I used to run from the bullies, and one in particular, Nicholas, you know, huge kid, green eyes, pierce right through you, ate small children type of thing. I fought him on the playground one day. And I kicked him in the head, and, you know, I was like, boom, you know, I did it, I won. And he just looked at me, he's like, that didn't hurt. And so I took off running, he caught my friend DJ, and DJ paid the price. So I ran from a lot of my bullies. Middle school, the same thing, but I got bullied middle school, but then my two best friends joined a gang. And, you know, I saw that there was two aspects. Like, one, you can either be bullied, or you can be the one who's just going to go over everyone, just, you know, drinking, smoking, partying it up, whatever, to fit in. And so my escape became this dancing.
And it so you was... started taking lessons?
No, I wish that would have helped out so much. So my junior year, I got introduced to breakdancing, b-boying. Saw it on a music video. We used to go to the Pulga, the flea market down off of 290. And every weekend we would go, I'd see this music, little video playing. And I was like, "What? Why are these guys spinning on their heads? Why are they on their backs?" It was a competition called Radiotron out in LA. And they were bringing the two best dance crews at the time, the Style Elements crew, a phenomenal crew, battling. I forget their names, another phenomenal crew. And around that same time, I began to see the breakdancing on videos on TV. Then I began to see this group of kids in my high school, the Grimy crew from here in Austin. I began to see these guys practicing in the hallways. And I'm like, this is cool, because these guys aren't getting picked on. These guys aren't getting bullied.
Yeah.
If I can learn to breakdance, I can like change my whole image. Yeah. And so the breakdancing kind of became that escape. Fast forwarding, what happened when I got into the breakdancing and b-boying, I would practice at the parks, practice at church and the band hall, but I began to get the attention of younger students, middle school students, and they began to become my platform. Like, hey, mister, show me that move. Hey, mister, can you do that? So I began to use the dancing as a hook, you know, because I figured, well, you know, I know what it's like to be messed with. I know what it's like to be kind of ostracized. And I didn't grow up like in some horrible household where, you know, I grew up in North Austin, nice home, but bullying affects everyone. And so when I got into the breakdancing, these kids began to just flock to me. And then I got into youth ministry at my church, just helping out. And they asked me, hey, Patrick, you want to start a little breakdance crew? Like, sure. And that's where everything started coming together, using the breakdancing to help students break through their challenges, using breakdancing, not so much to make them breakdancers, b-boys, but to just connect with them. Like, hey, you know, I'll show you this move, but how are things at home? How are things at school?
Through mentoring, Patrick met one young man in particular who he spent a great deal of time with for 2 years.
He was my first little protege, my little Jedi Padawan, and he laid the foundation for what I wanted to do.
This boy tried to take his own life at one point. Working with him helped Patrick realize that there were many other kids out there who also needed mentorship.
And a lot of these kids that I find out now aren't these little ragamuffin cholo kids, shaved head, but these are the student body leaders who are putting up a front, hurting on the inside, but because they have to be proper, they're the leaders. They're the ones who need to know, look, it's okay to hurt. It's okay to have faults. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've noticed over the years, because I went from a very, a very quote-unquote at-risk base, working with students in at-risk programs, and that slowly transitioned into these very affluent white leadership conferences, but they all have that same struggle for acceptance.
Really? Do they tell you that? Do they open up to you?
So when I get to do the workshops, that's where we get to open up a lot more than like the keynote where I'm just talking to the kids. Mm-hmm. So in these elements of the, like the workshop, yeah, you know, I've had student body leaders tell me, you know, Mr., I wish I could say no to my advisor. You know, I wish I could say no because I've got so much going on already. But they want to be accepted. They don't want to have someone like, oh, you know, well, we need you and you're not there for us. Because what does that do? It puts that negative view of self. Mm-hmm. And again, we all want to be accepted. That's right. The one thing we all have in common. We want to be accepted.
And I think that's big for kids who are overachievers.
Yeah. And that's a total different direction from when I first began working with kids who are like, you know, I don't want you to go to jail. I don't want you to shoot someone or stab someone.
So are you still working with the more at-risk kids?
Yeah. It's a very good blend now. Yeah. It's
okay.
Over the last 8 years, I've been doing this full time 8 years. I went through kind of these seasons where all of a sudden I was doing just primarily very affluent white events. I'm like, okay, well, this is great. But my heart was for those at-risk kids who would never step foot into an event like this.
Yeah. I remember you telling me when we met that your passion really was for the more at-risk kids.
Yeah. And this was my big transition was I saw it was so much easier to work with those at-risk kids because these are the kids that, you know, hey, just give me attention, give me just love, give me some, and I'm not going to wind up in jail. And then when I started learning about this whole acceptance mentality, well, these kids are looking for acceptance just as much. It's not going to come out like gangbanging, but, you know, yeah, they're going to be that overachiever. They're going to be the one that just can't say no because they want to fit in so much.
Mm-hmm. Are the more affluent kids, are they responsive to your presentation?
So over the last year and a half, I kind of changed up my program a little bit to talk more about identity, talk more about acceptance, approval. In a nutshell, what is your goal? But more importantly, who do you want to become in pursuit of that goal? And what will you do to make that goal happen? That's my core message. You know, setting that goal, protecting the goal, and not losing yourself in pursuit of that, whether you win or lose.
Having people who can help you out, surrounding yourself with the people who will push you forward. Not surrounding yourself with those people who can be like, man, you're whack and all that stuff. You put the people in your life who can help push you towards your goals and not pull you away. So the question I have for all of you and everybody out here, are the friends you have back at school, are your friends helping push you towards your goals or pulling you down? Are your friends the kind of friends that when you go to a little kickback, a little house party, and the alcohol starts coming out, will your friend be the one who gets you out of that situation, or they'd be the one telling you to take a sip? Think about it. Your friends, your future, your choice.
Now it's across the board, you know, from the little hood kid to the very affluent one. Now they're really reaching out like, you know, Mr., thank you. That's what I needed to hear. And that's the cool part with the speaking. It changes. As I grow, as I learn about myself, I'm able to put elements of that into my programs. Dating helps bring out a lot of things you don't know about yourself.
True.
Yeah.
That's
and so a few years ago.
He's single ladies, by the way.
South Austin.
Cute.
South
Lives
Austin
South
only.
Austin.
South Austin only. North Austin's too far. No.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Boo boo. And so learning just different things about self. I mean,
so as you learn about yourself,
yeah,
you know how to address it for other people.
Like when I talk to the students, you know, I'm sharing like, okay, this is what I process through. And then the kids are thinking like, you know, I'm going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We all identify on the level of our struggle. And that's what it is. It's a lot of vulnerability on stage. You know, it's opening up.
Really opening up. And that really makes people connect with you.
Yeah. I used to use those, you know, like those sad, sappy stories. You know, I used to do that. I mean, I thought, you know, I made 5 kids cry today. Great. And I know that's good. I mean, you hit the emotional chord, but what about the logical chord? What, once that emotion wears off, what are they going to take away from it? You know, I moved away from their very emotional. It's like, okay, well, if I'm going to have emotion, I want it to be fun. And then the logical, I'm going to talk really deep issues about identity, about trying to sell out to find acceptance from your friends. What do you have to do to stay drug free? It's not just a drug problem or an alcohol problem. It's an acceptance problem. And, you know, digging into that.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, shaka-laka-laka.
The kids come to you afterwards a lot and talk to you and kind of share their stories.
Yeah, they'll come up after the show. I do a lot of autographs, you know, signing t-shirts, shoes, hats, postcards. And then the good, like the juicy stuff is afterwards because I always leave my Facebook, my Selfiegram, Twitter. I leave all my social media And then that's where the really, like, I would say the ministry starts.
You're allowed to do that. The principals, the teachers, they know that you're giving away your contact information. Yeah.
They, on my postcard, it has that. And I let them know, like, hey, I'm leaving this information. And they do like it because a lot of times I'll push the students back to their counselors. And I let it be known in the program. I let them know, like, hey, if you're struggling with something, you can't talk to someone, hit me up.
Okay.
Some of these kids, they don't have anyone else to turn to. You know, they come from broken families, and I've had students from 4 years ago, like, reach out to me.
Really?
And these kids are now adults, 19, 20-year-olds, and they reach out either to, you know, thank you, mister, for speaking. I really held to what you said. Or, hey, mister, I need advice on this. You know,
interesting. College. Wow. So they remember you.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of the postcard. Well, you got to make it a cool postcard. You know, mine's a little breakdancer on it.
It's pretty clear that Patrick leaves a lasting impression on students. Let's hear what one student had to say after one of Patrick's presentations.
I thought Patrick was amazing. Not only is he such an inspirational speaker, but he really keeps you involved and keeps your attention by his breakdancing. I learned that even if you're older and you have a dream, do not stop following that dream. I learned that even the smallest things can get you in the wrong direction, but yet the smallest things can keep you on the right path and keep it on the road to success.
Patrick does even more to keep students' attention than dancing and being high energy. He has found another innovative way to connect with students. He tells about that next.
During the program, you know, we'll ask, you know, so what are your goals? And of course, all the extroverts, oh, you know, screaming, shouting, lighting themselves on fire. You know, they're excited to share. But the introverts are, you know, they don't want to raise their hands. They don't want to stand up. So I began letting students text message during the program.
Really?
And so I have a Google number up there. It's not my number, but it forwards to my phone. So I'm able to get the responses in real time on stage.
So are you looking at your phone while you're on stage?
Yeah, so the kids are texting me their goals. I've had some where we do the workshops identity. So what are three words you want to describe yourself as? And they text it in. You know, I want to be more outgoing. I want to be more creative. Mm-hmm. And so using that to help introverts and extrovert both communicate.
So how many different presentations do you do?
It's the same two.
So there are two presentations.
I format what I tell people. I format it, but it's the same. The keynote, which is, you know, talking to a big group. That's going to be the same keynote, but I will format it. And so I vary from tobacco prevention programs to migrant programs to leadership programs. And again, because my story focuses on identity, choices, goal setting, that's the base key. And I can change it up, but the core message is the same for each program. And then the workshop, this is where I started playing around a lot. You know, the workshop has changed the most over the years. And that's where we dig more into identity and goal setting. And that 1 hour up to 3 hour workshop, I've dissected that. I've learned from other great presenters. I found a lady, a BJ Pinnick out of, I want to say Oklahoma or somewhere. And she was phenomenal and ended up talking to her, getting some feedback from her for my program.
Really?
And this is...
So she listened to your program and then gave you...
Yeah. This is where you check your ego, because, I mean, when I saw her, by this time, I'd already been Entrepreneur of the Year for all past, so I've written 3 books, I've toured all across the country, but when I saw this woman do her program, I was just, oh my gosh, she is the hidden element. She is a phenomenal woman. She does what's called experiential therapy, and so I went up to her, I was like, give me feedback, like, I give you permission to slaughter me, do what you want, but let me know what you thought of my program, and she almost cried. You know, Patrick, I saw your program. You're doing phenomenal, but I just didn't know if it would be stepping on your toes for me to give you feedback.
Really?
But
so now, she wanted to give you feedback.
And so she gave me some ideas. Oh my gosh. It was just like fire. Like I had just been introduced to fire. And so she told me some ways to restructure it. And again, we're going back to this for the introverts. Because I'm extrovert. I'm preaching in a way that the extroverts are like, oh yeah, it's going to be great, crazy. But what am I doing? I am kind of alienating all the introverts. So she showed me a way to kind of bring everyone in. Start off slow, not so crazy and loud, but start off, invite them in, get their feedback, and then escalate. And then all of a sudden you're getting the introverts, the extroverts, the superberts, whatever. They're all coming in there.
Did you feel like you were able to implement what she suggested?
Yeah, big time. And it was a huge godsend.
Was it hard for you?
No. because I've been doing the same program for year after year, and if it
you're
works,
ready for change.
I was.
Yeah.
A lot of my programs, I started doing National Guard events. Those are so much, not so much like keynote where you're speaking to 500 people. These are like 30 to 40 students. And I wanted to really dig into the workshop. And that's why I was so open. I was ready. I was hungry. I wanted to change. I wanted to grow. And the best part was I saw her like a month later and I changed up the program and she saw it and she just, Patrick, that's it. Like you have, and like I felt for the first time I was sprinting. This was my stride. And I mean, I felt like I was flying. Forget sprinting. Who needs feet? I was like, I'm flying.
When was that?
This was June of last year. Yeah.
Okay. So around the time that you were inspiring me, someone else giving you additional inspiration. I really admire that Patrick wants to grow as a person and to become better at helping others grow, even if it means reaching out for help or including others along the way. You may be wondering at this point how Patrick actually became a breakdancing motivational speaker. Well, even though he has been the primary driving force behind his own success, he wasn't always a solo act.
It was one battle. I mean, one crazy battle that set all this off in motion. I was a freshman at UT El Paso. Homecoming, Minor Palooza, there's thousands of people on campus, music, food. It's like this crazy block party. So I'm sitting at this table just, you know, chilling, talking to some international students. And I figured, what if instead of just having a normal freshman orientation, what if I start breakdancing in the middle of the street? What if I get out there and just do something different and go against the norm? So I get out to the middle of the street where the DJ was, give the DJ a little prop, and I just started b-boying right there in the street. Well, a group of people formed a circle around me, and this girl came out. She's like, go dance again. And I was like, hey, okay. So I start really showing off at this time. I'm just like feeling it. I'm having fun. A bigger group of people form a circle. So I'm dancing my little heart out. I'm like, this is awesome. When all of a sudden this other dancer jumped into the circle.
Ooh.
You know, he claws and everything. So he jumps into the circle and he was good. I knew right away he was a lot better than me. You can just pick up, you know, the confidence that he had, the moves he was doing. I'm like, crap. Okay, well, so much for impressing that girl. But again, as I was talking about earlier, from being that bullied kid who always ran away, tried to fight here and there, but always ran away, I was tired of it. I was like, you know what? Let's see what happens. Let's take that chance. Let's do something that will make a cool story one day.
Mm-hmm.
So we battled. Like I knew I was
going
to get...
So you're thinking in your head, this will make a cool story one day if I get back out there.
That plus I was like, well, I got to impress that girl. That was like the primary focus.
The girl.
Yeah, it was the girl. I was like, I got to impress the girl.
Wow.
And so get out there, we battled. Like that, we were hungry, battled, and we were like battling, not just like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do a dance move here and there. No, like I'm bleeding out of my arm. He's like, his shirt's getting torn. I mean, we're hungry. We're
bleeding
just like,
for a girl.
Yeah, I'm like, this is for you. So we're dancing, and as soon as we're done dancing, I just kind of, you know, hobble over him, like, dude, you know, my name is Patrick, I'm from Austin. I wanna use b-boying to inspire youth. And he looked at me, he's like, dude, me too. Me too. So I met the first member of my crew in that battle.
Me too.
Yeah, me, man. Yeah, you, man. We conquer.
Exactly.
And so, and to this day, I hung out with, his name was Gabriel Lozano, aka Ghetto Gabe, Double G. He calls himself Double G. We call him Ghetto Gabe because that's his dance name. Can't get rid of it. And we started our dance crew, the Sun City Floor Rockers.
From there, the dance crew, the Sun City Floorwalkers, began performing and motivating first in El Paso, then across the country under the organization name of LEAD. And in case you were wondering, that young woman that Patrick bled for, she did become his girlfriend, and even traveled with LEAD for a while, speaking primarily to the girls while Patrick spoke primarily to the boys. After a while, some of the original dancers stepped out and others stepped in, but eventually other things took priority for everyone except Patrick. And somewhere along the way, Patrick and the young lady found that their season together had ended as well. As you can tell, though, Patrick's original goal to motivate youth through dance did not leave him. Occasionally, he still brings in dancers from his original crew, particularly Gabe, the one who helped jumpstart all of this. But there were other influencers that helped light and flame the spark in Patrick, besides girls, his crew, dance battles, experienced speakers, and youth. I don't think Patrick's motivation to help others would be there without his faith or without people of faith. on your website, I think it says that they know that you're not going to preach at them. And I think that it's true. Like, I've watched your videos, like every video I could find so that I could do my research. So I could do my research.
There you go. That's what it's called, research. I'm going to use that from now on. I was researching you. You followed me home. I was researching.
Don't do that, Patrick.
Okay, I won't do that. Yeah. I want to go to jail.
That's a good idea. So anyway, I agree that it's true. Like, you're not like shoving things down the kids' throats. But it's interesting because you remind me of the youth pastors that I grew up hearing.
I was raised Catholic, born again in a Baptist church, discipled up in a charismatic church.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm all spectrums of the rainbow there.
Yeah, you
are. I was very involved with my church when I was mentoring, had my little group. I was in charge of the college group for a while. But I always wanted to reach outside the church. I didn't want to just like, you know, we're going to be a little incubator here. And so I started taking the same love of Christ, the message, the commission, you know, reaching the lost, and just introducing them to, I guess, a watered down version, introducing them to a fulfilling life. You know, my walk with God has impacted my life a lot. My walk with Christ has impacted what I do. I'm not going to stand on stage and, you know, talk to the students, you know, 1 Corinthians 2:3. I'm not going to be preaching, but you let your actions speak louder than your words. And so my youth pastor, Pastor Keeney, was a huge influence. You know, he was the one who would come to church and talk to us, not at us, but he'll talk with us. He took me under his wing. He discipled me. And it was never about, you know, we're better than other people, you know, we're too, no, it's like, no, Patrick, God has done so much for you. Now, what can you do to help out other people?
That's awesome.
He instilled a lot of who I am today. And after his, you know, it's kind of like through these phases, Pastor Kenny, then Brother Marty, the dean of my Bible college, Pastor Kenny was the one like, here's your foundation. Here's who you are in God and Christ. Now grow. Brother Marty was the dean at my Bible college. He was the one, dream big. Fail forward, grow, do something that's going to revolutionize the world. Don't have a small, simple life. Do something that scares you. He was that fire. And he eventually hired me to work with him alongside Motivational Productions. And again, he did take me under his wing. He really helped polish who I wanted to be. And he set, and that was the thing, these two guys set the example. They set the example of someone I wanted to aspire towards. And, you know, most importantly, to my dad, hardcore introvert again, but my dad showed me, okay, don't just say something, like, show it. You know, that's my dad's love language. I'm going to show you that I love you. I'm going to go out there and chop down bamboo for you to put in your little vase on the top of your stairs. I'm going to show you. And so it was all about action and stepping out there and just this culmination of mighty men. Then into El Paso, having the business coach of the year, Bob Mahalev, speaking into my life about the business side of things. And it was just little by little.
All these things preparing you for what you're doing now,
big
really.
Time. The men that God placed in my life, I mean, they put me on their shoulders.
Great. No matter how much help we get along the way, when we give so much of ourselves to other people, it's inevitable that we'll need to rein everything in to rejuvenate and find restoration from time to time. Patrick came to a mandatory, screeching halt at one point in need of rest.
I did burn out 2011. I burned out. I actually canceled shows, burned a lot of bridges. But I took my little sabbatical year. I called it benching, where I would just sit on benches like throughout the day and just like space out.
Did you really?
Yeah. And like my friends thought I was depressed. I'm like, I just need a break.
Yeah.
Like I...
You just did so much. You were so active that you needed.
That was my hot year. I got picked up by the Fisher Agency in California. Cool Speak. Another bureau picked me up. So, I mean, everything was just blowing up. And I plunkered out.
That's hard. So. Do you feel disappointment from that?
No. See, that's the thing. I take this with a grain of salt. I know I could walk out after this interview. I could walk outside, get hit by a paleta man on his bicycle or something, and my dancing's over. But I, growing up, my band director would always tell us, make every show like it's your last. And so I leave everything out there. After my event, I'm sweaty, I'm nasty, I'm just like, okay, I need a day to recuperate, but I love it.
So what's next?
I am collaborating on a few books. I self-publish, You know, I'm not making billions of dollars off my books.
Three books. Okay.
Last one was with Professor Dr. Raphael Travis, aka the Doc, from Texas State. So we collaborated on a book. We're looking to do another book on resilience and leadership. So combining two, you know, huge factors. My next step, business-wise, I'm trying to build my little housing empire. And, you know, it's the exit strategy. Another speaker posed that to me. What are you going to do when you want to retire? How do you retire from speaking?
How long do you think you'll probably be doing speaking? I mean, eventually your body will say no more dancing.
Yeah.
But how long do you think? I mean, if you could project, like how much
longer?
If I could
project till I'm like 88, I don't know. Like,
would you keep talking to youth, do you think?
So if I do transition, because I love the youth, I would continue to always speak to youth, but I could also start bringing that knowledge to the adults. And so that would be a cool process, kind of talk to the, which I have done already. You know, I get invites. I'll turn down maybe 2 out of 3, but every now and then I will, like, yeah, you know, I'd love to talk to them that they can benefit from it. I think it would be cool to do like some type of reality show using, you know, going around, not so much about the motivation, but what are the histories of dance? You know, I just love dance. You know, where did capoeira come from? Where did house dancing, salsa, bachata, merengue? Where did all these dance forms come from? Because behind each of them, I can guarantee there's a struggle. Like hip hop was the streets of the Bronx. That was a struggle. Capoeira, slavery in Portugal, Brazil, but that was their struggle. And so bringing that to light, I think that'd be so cool.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And not so much, you know, youth oriented, but it's just dance. It's its own thing.
That would be fun.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
And then I could be on the Travel Channel.
You know, I really admire Patrick's ability to simultaneously be content with whatever happens and to tentatively plan a fun and hopeful future. He is so positive and lives with such passion that I could easily guess his initial response to my next question, but I wanted to hear what he would say. As usual, his perspective is great. You feel like you're fulfilling your purpose?
Yeah. And that's always been a big question, you know, because I know growing up, you know, what is God's purpose for your life?
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, totally.
I never had this, like, boom, here's the light and thunder, do this. This was, first and primarily, this is fun. It's making a difference. And over the years, I've gotten pretty good at it. So why would I stop? Mm-hmm.
You still enjoy it.
I love it. I'm a lion. I'm a bull. I have an event tomorrow that I'm like, I'm pumped. Like FCCLA, come on, bring it. Because it's like a, if you would bring like church, mix it with, you know, that really awesome club downtown, and then sprinkle in like, you know, just crazy people. I mean, it's not just like, you know, motivational speaking. This is like this experience, and I'm hungry.
So before we end things out, I want to go back to something that we circled around but we haven't really landed on. Dancing is fun to watch and fun to do, but how does it inspire people to become who they're meant to be?
The dance itself is this unspoken language. It's its own little culture. And the ones who don't listen to my message, they'll listen to the dance. They'll see the dance. They'll experience the dance. And then it's just like, look, live like that. You'll make mistakes. Keep dancing. You'll have your setbacks. Keep dancing. You'll trip, fall, whatever. Shoe goes flying off, whatever. Yeah.
That's great. People of every age, no matter this, whatever stage you're at, if you're a pastor, if you're 5 years old, if you're 70 years old and you have a family of 60, you know, I mean, everybody needs motivation. Everybody needs encouragement. So I think what you're doing is really important. So thank you, Patrick.
Yeah.
You're my third guest.
Yes, number three.
You were going to be number one, but you're too busy traveling.
Oh, yeah, we've tried meeting up
several times.
Like, okay,
yeah.
Just meet me in Illinois. Come up here. So.
That would be, okay, not Illinois. If you were in New York, I might have made
it. It's too cold up there.
I had to drive all the way to South Austin as it was. So
that is true.
This was far enough.
I applaud you.
Thank you.
I need to get you exposed to South Austin.
Sounds good.
Get a bicycle, grow a beard.
That's one possibility. Anyway, thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Want more pizza?
Eat more pizza.
More pizza. Sure you don't want any?
Yeah, I'm good.
Keep on dancing. # keep on dancing.
That concludes this episode of Ravens Among Us. Thank you for listening. I would love to connect with you, so feel free to leave comments on Datha.com or find me on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Be sure to stay tuned for the outtakes. Until next time, God bless you all.
Children scare me. That's my fear.
I don't think of teenagers as young adults.
Really?
Yeah,
they're taller than us. Have you been
term?
To Oklahoma?
Oh my
god. I ate a whole cattle for breakfast. I've had some stalkers. I was hungry.